If you can make your way into the sanctuary, we're going to get ready to start here in just a minute. I guess there's nobody else in the hall. That's good news. Everybody's in here. Everybody's wide awake. I hope you stay awake for the whole sermon. And that's, you know, that's my goal. Keep you awake. So I want to say first, before we get in going into anything here, I just want to say Corey did a fantastic job last week, and leading the pastor appreciation, did a fantastic job preaching the word. It was a good word. Pastor and Jen, we love you. We miss you. They're in Hawaii. We're waving to them. Everybody wave. Yeah, aloha. They're having a good time in Hawaii. I've seen some of the pictures on Facebook. It's fantastic. And it's good for them to get out and get away for a little while and just refresh. And that's really, really awesome. And so it's a privilege and an honor to preach the Word of God in this pulpit and before all of you. I consider you all friends. And it's good to be here this morning. So as many of you have come to realize or know through the events of the last week, there's a lot going on in Israel, and there's a lot going on more than what we know, more than what we can see. So God has impressed upon me this week to bring a sermon concerning Israel, about what we know and what we believe about Israel. Now, I know there's a lot of other pastors, a lot of other preachers and teachers out there in the body of Christ that are teaching this morning or preaching this morning on the same exact thing, because I believe God wants us all to know and understand where we stand with Israel. Where do our hearts and minds go when we talk about Israel? We talk about the security of Israel. We talk about attacks on Israel. It's the utmost importance as Christians that we know and understand the significance of the nation of Israel and the Jewish people in God's plans, both in the past, in the present, and in the future. Israel is the apple of God's eye. And there's been a lot of people that have made posts on Facebook, and they've shared this. And I want to reemphasize this thing, that God is infinitely attached with Israel. Israel is an extension of God. And listen, you may have never been there. You may not even know where Israel is. But I'm here to tell you that all the spiritual events in the history of the world and in the future of the world happen in Israel. I'm here this morning to share that we need to align our thoughts and our beliefs with what God has ordained and purposed for us concerning Israel. Now, what's at stake? At stake is the blessing or the cursing of God. And I cannot emphasize more than what I just said, because it is so imperative, so important that we understand as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we stand personally as an individual believer, as a church, as a body of Christ, as a nation, where do we stand when it comes to Israel? Now, the horrific events that have taken place in Israel by the enemies of Israel in this past week are quite shocking. Staggering to think of what has occurred. The terrorist group Hamas planning and carrying out attacks on innocent people in Israel simply because they are Israel, simply because they are Jewish people. Now, it's not the first time that we've seen attacks on Israel. It's not the first time we've seen attacks on Jews, both in Israel and outside of Israel. But what we need to understand is that it's even more shocking that we of the anti-Israel and anti-Jewish rhetoric that we hear and we see both in the Arab world that mostly hate Israel, mostly hate Jews, but not only that, but in America, but in New York City, in Michigan, and other places, you see pro-Hamas and pro-Palestinian rallies that are are strictly aimed at the destruction of the Jewish people. Iran is one of the main players in the entirety of this whole scheme, and they are bent and determined that they're going to wipe Israel off the face of the map systematically, little by little, and their whole understanding is around destruction of Israel. Because they don't believe that they have a right to exist. They don't believe they have a right to the land which they are currently living on. And I'm here this morning to alleviate you from any kind of confusion concerning Israel, that we might, in our minds, know where we stand. Know where we ought to stand, should I say. Now, obviously those people have been blinded to the truth of who God says that Israel is. They are blinded to the God that we know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're blinded to everything spiritual concerning the nation of Israel and concerning the Jewish people. But allow me to show you through the scriptures what is really at stake for those who will understand that we must stand with Israel. We need to pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. Pray for the Jewish people. Why? Because we are a part of that. Now, we were not born Jews. Most of us in here were not born Jews. If you have been born a Jew, that's a cool thing. But most of us have not been born Jewish. But through Jesus Christ, who was a Jew, we have been grafted into the Jewish people. We are part of them, and they are part of us. They are the root, and we are the branches. And I'm going to get into that later as we go. So, if you don't hear anything else this morning that I say, I want you to hear and understand this. As we bless the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, God will bless you, and He will return that blessing to individuals, to churches, to the body of Christ, and to nations that stand with Israel and bless Israel. But on the other side of that coin, on the flip side of that coin, God promises He will curse those who curse Israel. God is always faithful with His word, and His word is, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you. If you curse Israel, I will curse you. It's a spiritual law that God has established in the world. And if God establishes it, trust me when I tell you, it will come to pass. Praise God. We need some music. Go ahead. I need some music to go along with this, with the Word of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to start this thing off with the story of Abraham, who is the father of faith, the Bible says. He is the one person that we can trace all this back to and say he is the originator of the Jewish people. He is the originator of the nation of Israel, and God has chosen him out of every person that existed in the world at that time and in that place. God chose Abraham. But how many knows that Abraham carried out what he carried out according to what God told him to do because he had faith? It was the faith of Abraham that brought the connection that he had with God, that brought favor upon his life, but also not only that, that brought favor upon his descendants and their descendants all the way to the people that you see today, including you and I, through Jesus Christ, who was a descendant of Abraham. Let's read in Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation.'" Abraham was just a single individual at this point, but God is saying, "I will make out of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you," watch this, "and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." If we want to live the blessed life, if we want to walk in the blessings and the favor of God, We have to understand where the root of that came from, and it came from Abraham. And it came because God had intended Abraham to become a great nation, to become a great man, but not only that, that through him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And how were they blessed? They were blessed through Jesus Christ, who would come through the lineage of Abraham, down through his son Isaac and Jacob, and down through his 12 sons. And he would come from the lion of the tribe of the lion of Judah. And Jesus would fulfill what God brought forth to Abraham way back when. This scripture is telling us, hey, Abraham, I'm going to bless those beyond you, and the blessing is going to come through your seed. And if anybody was to come against that, God tells him, I will curse them. Now, I don't know about you. I certainly would not want to be on that side of the equation. I would not be the one who went against what God's plans are and the blessings of God flowing into people. I would not be the one to interrupt that, because as soon as we do that, we draw a curse to ourselves. Now, there's many instances of how people were blessed through Abraham and how people were cursed because they come against Abraham and come against his family. I want to talk about Abraham for a second. He was blessed by his faith and his obedience. God made a covenant with him and his seed. And we find that in Genesis chapter 17. Before I go any further, I need to pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We are grateful and thankful, Lord, for our roots. And our roots are found in Abraham. They're found in Isaac and Jacob. They're found, Lord, in the nation of Israel and in the Jewish people. God, you have established a people unto yourself. You have chosen them out of all the earth. And Lord, you've chosen them that they may be called by your name and the people of God. And God, I just pray this morning that you would open up our hearts, our minds, our eyes to see, Lord, what you have established, what you have blessed, what you are calling into existence, and Lord, what you will plan in the future for the people of God. And I pray, God, that we would come to an understanding and an agreement, Lord, with your word, that we might be a blesser of Israel, that we would stand with Israel, that we would stand with your people. And we just ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Watch what God says here in Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. God says to Abraham, now we read earlier his name was Abraham. Abram, God had changed his name to Abraham. We realize that through the scripture. And when he did so because he signed a covenant with Abraham, or with Abram. And in creating this covenant that is only separated by the death of both parties. See, covenants are only broken by the death of both parties. How many knows that our God's still alive? He's a living God. He's not dead. He is very much alive. Abraham, obviously, is no longer with us here on this earth, but he's very, very much alive. So this covenant cannot be broken, cannot be separated, cannot be taken away. Here's what he says. He said to Abraham, he said, I will make you an exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Here's verse 7. He said, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants. That means, descendants means people that are alive today. He told Abraham, he said, I will make your descendants as the sands of the seashore. And he said, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I'm going to share something with you this morning, that the physical remnants, the physical seed of Abraham, the physical descendants of Abraham are scattered around the earth through the course of time as like sand on the seashore. The sand on the seashore represents his physical descendants. Watch this. But the stars are those who shine bright through Christ, and they are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. That's you and me. That's you and me. So God's saying in two separate things. He said, I'm going to make you physical descendants. I'm going to make you spiritual descendants. We are the blessed of God through Abraham and through what God promised him. Verse 8. He said, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan. Canaan makes what is modern day Israel today, lives and is situated within the boundaries of Canaan, which was back then. Actually, Canaan's bigger than what Israel is today. How many knows that at some point in time, those boundaries are going to be reestablished in the nation of Israel? Are they going to own the whole thing? He said, I'm going to give you that land as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Where does it say? Where does it say anywhere in this word that God said, I'm going to take Israel out of this land and they would no longer exist there? It doesn't say that. So these nations and these people groups that claim that they want to wipe Israel off the face of the map, they're coming directly against this covenant that God made with Abraham. Are you following me this morning? It's something that God had established. And how many knows when God establishes it, He fulfills it? You will not wipe Israel off the face of the map. It's an impossibility. Because you're fighting against God Himself. I got news for the Hamas terrorists. What you're doing, this bloody bloodshed that you're perpetrating upon people, upon Jewish people, isn't going to get you nothing but make you a part of the grave, is what it's going to get you. It's going to get you annihilated. Why? Because God said, I will curse those who curse you. Those who come against the covenant God has made are going to be destroyed. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I like what Corey said this morning. We're going to pray for the terrorists that they would turn to God. And I pray for the terrorists that they would turn to God, that they would begin to know who God is. And they're going to know who God is. I guarantee you that. They're going to know. Because they're going to, in an instant, in a moment of time, they're going to find out real quick and in a hurry who God is. Both the land and the hand of God would perpetually be upon Abraham and his descendants forever. It's an everlasting covenant, which means forever, forever. Now, the first person to receive the blessings of this covenant was his son Isaac, because God had promised him. He said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He said, how can I be a father? I'm an old man. He said, my wife is old. We're beyond childbearing years. And how are we going to have a son? But God made it happen. He said, in your seed, Isaac shall be called. So God called forth Isaac when it seemed like that there was an impossibility. And so Isaac grew up. And how many knows when you grow up as a man, you have to at some point leave the roost? I'm here talking to all the young people. At some point, you got to leave your parents' house, excuse me, and you have to go and make your life for yourself. So Isaac, realizing that, listen, Abraham was blessed. He was very wealthy, had a lot of land. God had blessed him richly, just like he said he would. But Isaac said, hey, I got to go live off of my own blessing and live in my relationship with God. So he moved out of the roost, left the house, and settled in a land called Gerar. Now, Gerar was a place that was mainly populated by the Philistines. And the Philistines wouldn't be a real thing until later on down the road. But he lived in a land that the Philistines lived in. And in Genesis 20, chapter 26, it says, there came a famine in the land during those days. And Isaac had to rely upon God to sustain himself. He was no longer attached to the daddy's house. He was on his own. And I have to have my own relationship with God, just like you have to have your relationship with God. You can't depend on your parents' relationship with God. You can't depend on your grandparents' relationship with God. You have got to make a relationship with God yourself. And so God came to Isaac. He said, hey, there's a famine in the land. He said, I don't want you to go to Egypt where you know there's plenty. A lot of times back in those days, everybody knew that Egypt had all they could possibly want and more. And they were a blessed, prosperous nation. He said, I don't want you to go down to Egypt. He said, I want to stay right here in Canaan, in the land which is now Israel. He said, and I want you to sow there. And when he sowed there, the next year he obtained a 100-fold increase. Now, it astounded the people that were living around him, because here we have Isaac and all this great wealth now. All this, everything that he planted, everything that he sowed would come up and would be blessed because God was blessing him. All of his livestock increased. Why? Because God was blessing him according to the covenant he made with his father and he made with Isaac. Now, the Philistines were befuddled because nothing was happening. Matter of fact, they were living in a famine. But God had blessed Isaac, and Isaac would bless, again, would bless all the world around him. See, this is what I want to come to this morning, that as God blesses Israel, he blesses the nations around them. He blesses us as he blesses Israel. Israel was established to be a blessing to the world and to show the world who God is through those blessings. A hundredfold return is what Isaac ended up having. Now, Isaac had a son, and his son was named Jacob. And guess what Jacob did? At a certain age, he left his father Isaac's house. Listen, his father Isaac was wealthy, had a lot of cattle, had a lot of livestock, had a full-blown, almost a country cub type of lifestyle, all the things he could ever possibly want, had a rich relationship with God. But Jacob had to leave the roost, had to go out on his own and make his own life and his own relationship with God. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You need to have your own relationship with God. You have to strike out on your own and be your own man or your own woman. You have to do your thing and have your relationship with God, because you will experience the blessings and the power of God in your life once you step out from under the umbrella of your folks. That's just the way it is. And we will not experience that if we don't do it. 14 years, Jacob labored for a wife. Now, he struck out on his own. He went searching for a wife, found one named Rachel, but he had to go through 14 years of labor. How many of you guys had to have labored for 14 years to obtain your wife? It ain't me. Her dad said, here. He said, I'm done paying for it. Let's go. No, Jacob went to a far land called Haran, and he fell in love with a beautiful woman named Rachel. And he said, I sure would like to marry her. And her dad's name was Laban. And he told Laban, he said, hey, I would love to marry your daughter. He said, well, you're going to work for her first. And so Jacob set out to work. And that was only supposed to be 7 years. But here's the problem with that. Laban decided that, well, you know, I have an older daughter. Her name's Leah. And you're going to have to go through her first. I gotta wet out my oldest daughter first. And then, so he had to marry both of them to get to Rachel, and it took him 14 years to do it. But here's what happened in them 14 years. Jacob was diligent. Jacob sought his father and his father's father's God. He sought out God, and God began to bless Jacob. Why? Because he had blessed his father, because he had blessed his father's father. And he had come into a relationship with God himself. And when he did so, God said, I'm going to bless you just like I blessed your parents and your grandparents. I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to make great nations out of you, Jacob. And so, therefore, Jacob came to this thing with only a stick. And in the end, he ended up having flocks that were so numerous you could hardly count them. And all the blessings that God poured out upon Jacob, Laban was a part of. See, when Laban blessed Jacob, God blessed Laban, his father-in-law. Now, he walks away from his father-in-law after 14 plus years, and he takes his wives and he takes all of his children. He starts moving along. And how many knows that he comes to a place where he begins to wrestle with God? And he had a wrestling match with God one night. He kept him out all night wrestling with God. And it was the angel of God he wrestled with. And when dawn was breaking, he said, you got to let me go. And he let him go. And God renamed Jacob Israel, Because Israel means he's wrestled with God and man and has succeeded. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And the nation of Israel was born when Jacob's name was changed. Because the children of Israel were recipients, the descendants of Jacob, Israel, they were the recipients of the blessings of God beyond that. Why? Because God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant with Isaac. And now God made another covenant with Jacob. Laban said in Genesis 30 that God has blessed me because of you, Jacob. Remember, God changed name, Jacob's name to Israel. And Israel returned to the land of his fathers with his family with great wealth. He left that place after 14 years having acquired great wealth. Now, Isaac had a son named Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. And his youngest son to that point was named was Joseph. And God is going to carry out the blessings through Joseph, as we find out. Israel was blessed by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, how was he blessed by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt? Joseph, when he was 17 years old, was sent out to go find some food. And when he did, his brothers were jealous of him because he was his dad's favorite. Everybody remember that his dad made him a coat of many colors, right? Joseph was the favorite son of Israel, the favorite son of Jacob. And they threw him in a pit. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't be jealous of your brothers and sisters. Don't throw them in a pit. But they did. And he left him for dead. And they told their father that a wild beast had attacked him, brought home his clothes, that coat, and it had blood all over it. And they left him for dead, and they told their father he was dead. But how many knows that the end of the story is way different than the beginning of the story? See, he was sold into slavery from that point, and he went to live in a place called Egypt. And he was purchased by a man named Potiphar. He lived in Potiphar's house, and he blessed everything that Potiphar put him to work to do. It was blessed. And through a series of events, I'm not going to get too deep into it. At some point, there came a time where Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, God gave him a vision. God gave him a dream. And the dream involved 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows. How many remember the story? He said, I saw 7 skinny cows coming out of the river. He said, I saw 7 fat cows come out of the river. And those fat cows ate the skinny cows up, and they were no more. And he was perplexed, and he couldn't find anybody to interpret the dream for him except for one person. How many knows? It was Joseph. So Joseph was summoned to the palace, summoned before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He said, oh, Pharaoh, know this, that God has determined that there is going to be a famine for 7 years, and there's going to be a great abundance for 7 years. So in the 7 years where there's a great abundance, O Pharaoh, what you need to do is to appoint a man over all of the wealth of your country, all the grain, all the cattle, all the livestock, and bring back a portion of that, set aside a portion of that, because we're going to have 7 fat years and then 7 lean years. And Pharaoh was so taken by what Joseph had said. He said, I'm going to make you the captain over all of it. So here we go. Joseph, the son of Israel, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, becomes the right-hand man to the Pharaoh himself. There was nobody else in the land of Egypt that was greater than Joseph except for the Pharaoh. And so how many knows the story? 7 fat years come. They stored up in barns. They stored up in places all that they needed to store up. And when the famine hit, Egypt was the richest nation in the entire world. But here's the problem with that. Here's the problem with that. Joseph's father and all of his brothers were still back in Canaan. He was in Egypt. And so the famine hit everywhere. And so at some point in time, his brothers had to come to Egypt to get food. And when they came to Egypt to get food, who was there? Joseph was there. And Joseph, they came three times to Joseph to get food. And because of Joseph, Pharaoh would bless Jacob, Israel, with a piece of land called Goshen. He said, tell your dad, tell your brothers to come into this place, and I will give them a rich, fertile place in Goshen, and they can live there, and they can have all the food that they want. The nation of Israel was saved from the famine. They were saved from starvation through Joseph and what he did and what God did through Joseph. See, what you do to Israel, God will do to you. God blessed Pharaoh in an immense way, become the richest of the rich, the wealthiest of the wealthy. Because why? He blessed Israel. He blessed the descendants of Israel, gave them land, gave them food. And all these things happened because he blessed Israel. And just as God blesses those who bless Israel, he also curses those who come against Israel. How many knows that after Joseph died, after this Pharaoh died, there come another Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. In Exodus chapter 1, we find out that this Pharaoh that comes after the past Pharaoh, the new Pharaoh, comes along and he's an evil man. He's an evil man. And they begin to enslave the people of Israel who had grown great in the land of Goshen, which was part of Egypt. And so when they began to enslave God's people, how many knows it didn't end well for Egypt? How many knows it didn't end well for Pharaoh? Pharaoh actually, he said, these people are becoming great. They're becoming great in number. I got to do something to stop this before they overtake us and fight with other groups that come against us. So he began to drown the babies, all the firstborn males of Israel. How many remembers the story? Huh? But here I got news for Pharaoh. What you do to the nation of Israel, God will do to you. How many remembers that God poured out 10 plagues upon the nation of Egypt? And at one day, at a moment of time, at midnight on that fateful night on Passover, God came and took every firstborn among Egypt that did not have the blood on their doorposts. God had come against Pharaoh because Pharaoh had come against Egypt. How many knows that the entire Egyptian army and Pharaoh himself drowned in the Red Sea after Israel had crossed over into dry land? The whole Red Sea swallowed up the Pharaoh and all of his armies. They become nothing but fish food at the end of the day. What you do to Israel, God will do to you and then some. I'm here to tell the enemies of the nation of Israel to be careful what you do, because if you curse Israel, God will curse you. God will do it to you. The Egyptian economy was wrecked and will never recover unto this day. Now, they're still existing, but their economy is crap. I say crap from the pulpit. I did. The same thing would happen to the Babylonian Empire. See, the Babylonian Empire under King Nebuchadnezzar come and raided Israel, destroyed their temple, destroyed the walls, and took all the Jewish people captive into Babylonian captivity. How many of you remember that? So he attacked them, took them captive. But how many knows that Babylonian Empire no longer exists? It was a great and wealthy empire until they attacked Israel. They are no longer in existence. Same thing happened to the Roman Empire. In BC 70, they came and they occupied Israel and made Israel a territory of the Roman Empire. In AD 70, they came and they destroyed and leveled Jerusalem. They leveled the temple. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, one stone will not be left upon another. And it came pass. Why? Because he knew that the Roman Empire would come against Israel at one point in time. And they did. And all the people were dispersed. The Christians and the Jews living in Israel were dispersed around all the world. How many knows that the Roman Empire no longer exists? Why? Because God does to them what they do to Israel. How many knows that the Nazi Germany exterminated 6 million plus Jews, and they wiped out, they thought they was going to wipe out the entirety of the Jew population. But how many knows that the Nazi Germany doesn't exist anymore? What did God absolutely collapsed that empire upon itself? What you do to Israel, God will do to you. God has reduced all these once great empires to the ash heaps of history. But only Israel remains and thrives. Why? Why? Because Israel is the apple of his eye. And God watches over Israel every moment of every day throughout the entirety of history. And God's eyes are open to nations like Iran and people like the Palestinian Hamas and all those who want to do Israel harm. God's eyes are fixed upon them to see what they'll do, because God will curse those who curse Israel. How many knows that Jesus is a Jew? Huh? Jesus was a Jew of Jews. Watch this. Every disciple in the four Gospels was a Jew. All of them. The Apostle Paul was a Jew. Every book in the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible, were written by Jews. Do you think that God cares about the Jewish people? Immensely cares about the Jewish people. Our heritage is from Israel and is Jewish. We bless Israel and we bless the Jewish people because we ourselves want to be blessed. We want to live in the blessings of God. We want to live in the favor of God. I don't want to live on the other side of that where I'm cursed and God does to me what I want to do to Israel. That's something that should be completely out of our minds and completely out of our vocabulary. John chapter 4, verse 22, Jesus says this. He said that salvation is of the Jews. We didn't obtain this salvation in any other kind of way other than through the Jewish people. Understand where your roots are. Understand where you came from. The branch should not boast against the roots, because we bear fruit simply because we are connected to the root. The root is Israel. The root is Jewish. The root is Jesus. And as I draw this to a conclusion, I want you to remember this. Joseph was thrown into a pit, rejected by his brothers and left for dead. Jesus was thrown into a grave and left for dead. And he came to his own, and his own received him not. How many knows that the name Joseph means Savior in Hebrew? The name Jesus means Savior in the Greek. Same, same. Joseph was raised up out of the pit and ascended to the right hand of Pharaoh the king. Jesus was raised out from the grave on the third day, and he sits at the right hand throne of God. On the third visit that Joseph's brothers made to Egypt to get food during the famine, Joseph revealed himself to them through the scars of circumcision. Because you see, the Egyptians did not circumcise their children, but the covenant of Abraham is passed down through the sign of the circumcision. And so through the scars of circumcision, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Three times Jews came into the land of Israel. Three times. The first time they came in through Joshua. How many remembers the story? They wandered the wilderness with Moses. They came in through Joshua. The second time they came in was after the Babylonian captivity. After God released them from the Babylonian captivity, they came back to Israel with Nehemiah and Azariah and Ezra and all those people. And the third time they came back from the dispersion after AD 70, when the Romans sacked Jerusalem, they came back in after the dispersion in 1948. As a matter of fact, it was May 1948, and they became a great nation again. Three times. They came back to their own land. The Bible predicts that after the rapture takes place, the eyes of the Jewish people would be opened and they will see Jesus and recognize him as their Messiah. Why? Because he has the scars in his body. We're going to be raptured up out of here. We're going to be raptured up out of here. But Jesus is going to come where? He's going to come to Jerusalem, the great witness, that is killed in the streets is going to be the a witness in the book of Revelation is that in Jerusalem, in Israel, all these things are going to take place. In the 144,000 witnesses for Jesus Christ are going to be Jews because we're going to be out of here. The world is going to be going through great tribulation. Now, I don't know exactly when, and I'm not going to predict that. I'm not going to say it's pre-trib and post-trib, mid-trib. I'm going to say this, that we're going to be gone by the time the 144,000 Jews are going to go out into the world and preach Jesus. They're going to look upon, the Bible says, right, that they will know him by the scars in his hands and in his feet. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 predicts this. He says, they will look on me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Israel's going to see their Messiah come. He's going to come and he's going to put his feet down on Jerusalem. They're going to know him. Why? He's going to have nail-scarred hands. He's going to have nail-scarred feet. He's going to have a sword, a puncture wound from his side, a scar from the puncture wound. They're going to see the scars like Joseph's brother seen his scars. And they're going to all come back to Jesus. I'm telling you, God's got a plan for Israel and for the Jewish people. And it's to bless them like he's blessing you and me today with our salvation. Romans chapter 11, verse 1 says that God has not cast away his people. Certainly not. God has used and will use the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, to bring all the nations to himself. And in the end, all the world will know Jesus as the Son of God through their witness. Through their witness. Should we bless the nation of Israel? Absolutely. Should we be in tune with what's going on in Israel? Absolutely. You know that every end time event that happens in the book of Revelation, that's predicted in the books of Daniel and other and Matthew and other things, it's all going to happen in Israel. Keep your eyes focused on Israel. See what God's doing. See what's going to go on. And know this, that there's going to be people, there's going to be nations that come against Israel. But how many knows? Their end is going to be dust. Their end is going to be annihilation. Their end is going to be nothing. Why? Because God blesses who bless Israel and he curses those who curse Israel. And that is the way it is. That's the way it is. So let me say this, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. I'm ready. Are you ready for the rapture? The rapture, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. Did you know that? The word rapture is not even in the Bible. The catching away of believers is in the Bible. People have named it the rapture, and that's okay. It's a good word. I'm ready to be caught away. I'm ready to see my Savior split the eastern sky. How many knows Jerusalem's in the east? Huh? Where's he going to come through? He's going to come through right above Jerusalem. Every eye will see him and they will know that he is the Savior of the world. They will know that he is the Son of God. Are you ready? Are you ready? All these things, all these rumblings, Jesus told his disciples. He said, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Right? He told us ahead of time so that when we see these things happening, no one understand the hour that you live and the hour that you exist. And our redemption is drawing nigh, the Bible says. He said, look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. I don't know if the rapture is going to happen today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now. But I know this, that the time is coming to a quick conclusion. And Jesus is going to come and rule and reign from where? Jerusalem. For 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign. Look it up. It's in the scripture. It's in the book of Revelation. Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Should we have our minds and our hearts set on Jerusalem? Absolutely. Should we walk in the blessings of God and bless the nation of Israel and bless the Jewish people? Absolutely. But should we be ready for any of it? Yes, we shall. Yes, we shall. we're going to come to a conclusion. Oh, let's see what kind of time. Oh, great time. Pastor, let this be. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Pastor. It's 11:41, just so you know. But there's a great song, and I believe it was like in the early 90s. I wish we had all been ready. Anybody remember that song? I wish we had all been ready. You may not have heard it, but the gist of this is this, that if you want to make sure that when the last day comes, you're going to be on his side, that you're going to be going with him. See, he's coming for his own people. Jesus is coming back, and those who are alive in Christ will be caught away with him, the scripture says. And we will be with him forever. But if you are not in Christ, you don't have a chance. And tomorrow may be too late because he may come right now. He says, no one knows the hour nor the day. Only my Father in heaven knows. We don't know. But if you're ready, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he comes right now, if he comes tomorrow, if he comes next year. If we're ready, have you made your life right with Christ? Have you made your life right with God? The only way to make our lives right with God is to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, his Son. He said, I made a way. He's already done the work. He sacrificed himself on the cross. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for us every day because he loves us. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're not, let today be the day that you make yourself ready. I'm going to open this altar in a moment. They're going to sing and they're going to play. And I'm going to offer the opportunity for you to do that very thing. If you have yet to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, let today be the day. Let right now be the time, because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next moment of your life. It could be here and gone in the twinkling of an eye. Get yourself right with God. I'm going to open this altar. You can come and pray with me. I want to pray with you. This altar is open. This altar is open. If you have a need this morning, you need prayer, I want you to come to this altar. I want you to get prayer. I want to pray for you. I want to believe together with you concerning whatever it is going on in your life. If it's a physical ailment, if it's a spiritual issue, if you're struggling in your marriage, you're struggling with your relationship in your family, you're struggling at work, whatever it is you're struggling with today, I can come into agreement with you and get God to intervene in that situation. He said, whatever two or more agree together, I will do it. That's the word of God. This altar is open. You can come and pray.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. And I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is.
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Make every stronghold shine through the shadows. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Lord, we love you. You're grateful, God, that you can have us here today to hear your word. I pray your blessings and favor upon everyone here this morning, upon all those who are watching at home that you're not here today. God, I pray that you would bless them in great abundance. Lord, help us to have a mind that is focused on what you're doing and what you're doing in Israel. God, help us to see, Lord, your purpose and plan through it all. God, I pray you'll bless every household here today as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. God loves you. God bless you. You can be dismissed now in the name of the Lord.